Okay, we're picking up in the Gemara from two lines in the bottom of Ayin Amud Beit, with the words of Hashtad Amar. We're going back to a point that we mentioned before, that we use the Lashon of Hashtad Amar's Bo L'drasha to us. We mentioned before that the Lashon of Bo, we had the drasha that it's coming to teach you that if you mal one's child, well, you have to mal your child in order to be chayav in the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to do the Korban Pesach if your child or your slave has not done Bris Mila yet. However, that was coming Bo L'fukit to teach you that the Lacha does not apply by Truma. By Truma, you would be allowed to eat even if you have a child that doesn't have bris milah. So then the Gemara asks them, Kol ben nechar lo yochal bolam alei. So the Pasuk also says, in reference to the Korban Pesach, it says, Kol ben nechar lo yochal bo, which again we're learning, bo seemingly is referring to something which specifically here he's not supposed to eat it. Who is this ben nechar? So usually Rashi understands it as someone who is no longer believes in Hashem, and specifically lechora, it means somebody who rejects the mitzvah, the iser of Avodah Zarah. Doesn't believe in Hashem is the only God. So again, Kol ben nechar. So what's it coming to exclude? What else is not going to be in this parsha? So this says the Gemara now. Bo is teaching you that only of the Korban Pesach Hamaras Das Poselas, that somebody is going to be puzzled from bringing the Korban Pesach. But in Hamaras Das Poselas Ben Meiser. But specifically talking about Meiser Sheni. But for in our case, the meaning for Truma, Tosas pointed out clearly by Truma also that somebody would be allowed to be eating Truma or eating Meiser Sheni, also partaking Meiser Sheni, even if he doesn't necessarily believe in. Only in Hashem's being, believes in Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom, so that would be something that would be not possible from eating. So says the Gemara, V'chol Arei Lo Yochal Bo Lamalei. So one of the Pasuk says that nobody who's uncircumcised male should eat the Pesach. What do I learn from this drasha? So again, so the Gemara says, Bo in Ochel, so he's not allowed to eat of the Korban Pesach. It's someone who's uncircumcised, who's a male. He can eat that of El Ochel, who matzah ben maror. However, he is allowed to partake in the mitzvah matzah maror. I would have thought, since there's a hekesh from one to the other, I would have thought maybe that they are together. So no, the mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah that he eats, Belayla Tochel Matzos, is independent of that. The Achronim point out a kasha, though, that maror is seemingly very problematic to mention maror over here, because lechora this is a drasha on a level d'oraisa. We're saying, what does this exclude on a level d'oraisa? What's included? What's excluded? Meaning that this person is allowed to eat matzah. So now, if we're talking about somebody who's uncircumcised is not allowed to partake in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach on a level d'oraisa, so then he is allowed to partake in matzah d'oraisa. I get that drasha. But what maror? Maror, we know that we don't maror bizman as darbanan. Maror nowadays is darbanan. Why do we know that? Because only when there's a korban al matos morim yochlu. Only when you're having with the Korban Pesach, that pasuk is darfen to the Korban Pesach together with matzahs and maror, right? So I had the famous sandwich of Hillel, a korech, matzah, maror, you put it together because with the Korban Pesach, we don't have the Korban Pesach, so therefore maror bizman as clear in the Gemara that is darbanan. So it can't be this is drasha. Level there, but under Raisas. So in Achalai, they basically, the Rishonim even asked this question. Iri discusses it, Menchus Chinuch discusses it. They really basically all say the same thing. It's like Agav Gra. They're really just mentioning it like as part of the mitzvah of the matzah, but really it's not. It's not a real drasha de Raisa that, you know, of Moror. Matzah would be in Achanami. Matzah that he's chayav and matzah mid Raisa in Achanami. That is going to be fully a full drasha on a level de Raisa. Aber the Indian of Moror is not. That's going to be a level of Derabana. So that's like Mar Vaiter. So now the Torah already disqualifies somebody who is not doesn't have a bris milah and somebody who is not doesn't believe in Hashem or doesn't whatever someone who does a avodah zarah. So now why? Because of Rachmana Aral, if it, the Pasuk just says somebody doesn't have a bris milah, I would have thought Mishum Demais, because specifically the Mishnah in the Nedarim says Ma'usa the Orla. The Orla is very disgusting with Hashem, if we're Aral, it's much like that. We call someone like you're an Aral. It's an extreme insult. It's something that is very disgusting to us. We see by the story of Shimon Levi that they specifically said, like, the first thing was that Arel is right, they weren't lying about that point. They were just evil and they decided to kill them, but the idea that the Arel is Ma'az, that if you guys are not having bris milah, you shouldn't be part of us, that is something we really believe in. So anyway, so we see that it's something that's disgusting about Ben Komenech or Lamois, that maybe that he himself, nothing's on his body, that he's it's so disgusting. I would say that he's not necessarily going to be puzzled, he's not going to be puzzled from he's not going to be possible from the din of Korban Pesach. Now, if you tell me only that the person who is who believes in multiple gods, so there obviously he shouldn't be bringing the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is one of the things that is Iker showing that we believe Hashem like Yisrael Mitzrayim, he's the only God, and so you don't do the Korban Pesach, you don't believe in that. But in Arel, specifically, this seems to be a raya for those who hold that it was an Arel Machmasonis, that even if we're talking about a case where two brothers had died previously with regards to Mila, even that person, right, is in this parsha. So even that person So he's libo shemayim. He really believes in Hashem. So imala, but you can't do anything. So I would thought that maybe he's not taka going to be. He's not going to be pasul from bringing the korban Pesach tricha. Therefore, it is to tell you the Torah to tell you explicitly in a chanami he is pasul from eating the korban Pesach and bringing the korban Pesach. So now the Gemara says mimenu mimenu lamali. So why we have like zero shava mimenu menu? It's written in regards to as the pasuk says al tochlo mimenu na ovashal mavushal b'mayim. Right, Rashi quotes this pasuk that it says specifically you should not eat it partially roasted or na partially roasted uvashal mavushal or it should be cooked. Agava, we learn from there that or machmir that nowadays we don't even eat anything that looks like the carbon pesach, so we don't have a cooked meat. There's a whole shayla. What's going to be considered mavushal? To not have something. Sorry, that cooked meat is fine, but to have it sliish, to have it roasted is the shayla. That the way that the carbon pesach actually brought to not look like we're doing carbon pesach, that's a side point. But back to over here in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that what do I learn in the lesson of Mimenu? Mimenu sounds like it's specifically Mimenu, you shouldn't eat it partially, you should not eat it partially roasted or cooked. It really has to be fully roasted. So the Gemara says, so Rashi says that which Joshua will see later, it's coming to teach you the halachas that we're going to learn on Daf Ayin Dalet Be'ezras Hashem. So we're going to learn three different things that we're going to learn from there. Three different times I mentioned Pesach is going to quote to Joshua. So Be'ezras Hashem will get to that, and that's what we're learning from there. So now the Gemara goes back to discuss what we learned with Shitas Rabbi Akiva on yesterday's Daf. Rabbi Akiva said, that you don't need to have the Gzera Shava to teach you that somebody who's not have bris mila is usher to eat truma, because Harei Omer Ish Ish, the lashon of Ish Ish is coming to Riboy. Why are you mentioning the first Ish Ish that is if the pasuk says Ish Ish Mitzera Aaron? Which we learned again, that's talking about truma. So we learned from there that why does it say double lashon of ish twice? So that's what Rabbah says. This is coming to include somebody who doesn't have a bris mila in the iser of eating truma. That's what we're discussing over here. So says the Gemara, ve'ima l'rabos es onen. Maybe say that the extra words is coming to include an onen in the iser of eating truma and not necessarily the aral. So we're going to have a very similar shakka v'tayah that we had yesterday's daf. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. I'm Rav v'cholzar. The pasuk says that anybody who's a cholzar lo yochal truma. So cholzar is talking about somebody that lo yochal. At the end of that pasuk is saying specifically who that somebody who's literally a stranger, outsider, should not eat truma. Who is this? Zaru samar to the chavalo aninus. That someone who's not someone who's not someone who's be foreign from kuna. I said that not someone who's an onin. So we see specifically onin is included and he's allowed to eat truma. Ema v'lo aleros. No, but maybe say that that somebody who is not a Kohen, he's asur to eat truma, but not somebody who is an Arel, that somebody who doesn't have a bris mila. Why are you assuming that it's coming to exclude an Onan from the Isser? Maybe it's coming to say that an Onan is taka asur to eat truma, and an Arel is mutar to eat truma. So the Gemara says, haksiv ish ish, but no, because we use the riboy of that ish ish to include that somebody who is does not have a bris mila is pasul from eating truma. That's what we learned the drasha for. So therefore, by way of nature, then I'm forced to say that the lashon of the zar, which is coming to exclude someone who is not forbidden to eat truma, that's saying that an onan is permitted to eat truma. That's what we're learning. So the Gemara says, but why you might rise? Why did you learn that ish is coming to exclude someone who doesn't have bris mila from eating truma and telling me that somebody who's an onan is allowed to eat truma? Maybe say the reverse. Maybe say that really ish is coming to exclude an onan from eating truma, and the lashon of the chozar is coming to tell you that to include that someone who is an uncircumcised person is mutter to eat truma. So why did I do the drasha in the way that I did? So the Gemara says, because mistabra darilas havela rube, it makes more sense to assume that someone who doesn't have bris mila should be usher in eating shuma. Why? She can't exactly what we have before. Maisim krusna bedavar avid, that this same mnemonic, remember it, right, he's mechusar meiser, somebody who doesn't have bris mila, is lacking an action to make him fit to eat the truma, umaisa begufo, and also doing the bris mila, is on his body to make him fit. Ve'anush karis, and it's something which has a chi of karis, if you don't do it, one of the only two mitzvahs I say, the other one is Karm Pesach, also Aryan are discussing, the only two mitzvahs in the Torah that you can get karis for not doing them. Ve'yeshna lefnei adibor, and this mitzvah is so chamar, it was given to Aram Avinu even before Har Sinai. Umila zichara ve'avad ma'kev, it's not only that, if you don't give bris mila to one's children or your slaves, you're going to be, it's mevatel, you're not allowed. It's going to prevent you from bringing the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, but wait a second though. But still, there's some chumras that Aninus has that doesn't apply to Arel. Exactly, again, we had this exact shock of Atari yesterday's daf. Adraba. Aninus avil rebube, that we should have included the Isser of eating truma, sheken yeshna becholsha, in an onin from eating truma, because he applies to him, it could apply at all times. Anytime his relative dies, he's going to be shocked him. But I guess, by Nashim and Nashim, and also women are applicable as a Zion Krovim. It doesn't matter if she's a woman, and one of her Zion Krovim dies, right? Mother, father, brother, sister. child, son, daughter, and spouse. So all of them apply to both men and women. If the person dies and did not bury yet, you're usher from doing mitzvahs. And that's something that applies to women as well. Also, it's something that you can't control. Hashem does it, and whenever they die, that's it. So as opposed to bris milah, you can do it. And of course, so therefore, these are more chumras. These are also chumras. So the Gemara says at the end of the day, anach nefishin, that there are more chumras. I think we had five with regards to those, with regards to bris milah versus aninas, which only had three. So therefore, we say that there's more likely to say that an onin is going to be mutari truma, whereas an arel is not. That's where we learn it. So says the Gemara, Rav Amar Belo anach nefishin. If you don't come up to the fact that there are more reasons to include the case of aninas to allow you to eat truma and to exclude you from eating from an arel eating truma, so that you could just say the following, Belo nefishin, nami lamatzes amres, because Amar Kra ish ish, the pasuk says that ish ish, which implies the Torah specifically, that is something that's unique to a person, to a man. Ish is usually a man. So here also it's referring to a man. What halacha applies to a man and not to a woman? Avilmer Zarelis, the halacha of getting bris milah doesn't apply to a woman, as opposed to specifically Onan, we said does apply to a woman. So that clearly ish ish is coming to say that. So now the Gemara asks, wait a second, though, we had this machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, Haitosha Besachir Mayavidle. So what does he do with the drasha that we had before, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Meaning Rabbi Eliezer learned that pasuk to teach you that it's excluding someone who's Arel from eating the truma. So what is that extra lashon Tosha Besachir teaching you this din of the fact that they're usher to eat truma? What is Rabbi Kiva going to do with that drasha? So that's, what is he going to teach us? It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shmaya, Latuye, Aravi Mahol Vagiv Oni. It's including a person who actually has bris milah, like the Arabs, even the Bible says, right? The Arabs get bris milah, I think, most of them. And the Givonim, also, Mahul, they are usher to eat the Korban Pesach, because the pasuk says called Arel lo yochalbo. So it's talking about V'chol Arel lo yochalbo. And that's, I would have thought that someone who's a goy, maybe it would be shayach to this din, that they're maybe shayach to bring a Korban Pesach if they wanted to, if they so choose. So therefore, that is coming to exclude them, that they have bris milah. As a v'hanim milah ninu, but are these people considered actually mal halacha, that they should be not considered in the parsha of Arel? Vatnan. Then we learn in the Mishnah in Adarim. The Mishnah in Adarim is talking like, again, by the way, and if they're what they do, what they call their circumcision is not called bris milah, so it doesn't matter. That shouldn't be that we don't need that they're still called arelim in the pasuk. So there's no shaila that you need to exclude them from the Korban Pesach. So you don't need this drasha. So the Gemara is bringing it right because the Mishnah says konim anshani ner arelim. The lashon of konim is the classic lashon of nedarim. Konim is it's similar to lashon of korban, meaning that this object is going to be like hektish to me. It's completely it's usher for me to have hana from it. So I'm not going to derive benefit from Arelim. So it says Mutar Ba'Areli Yisrael. So his Lashon, we usually the Nadarim after Lashon B'nei Adam, you go after the common vernacular of how people speak. So when we say that he meant Arelim, L'chorah he meant that he didn't mean Yidden. That even if a Yisrael is an Arel, for whatever reason, he didn't mean them. He meant that he's not going to be Nana from non-Jews, V'Aser Ben Mulei Avodei Chachamim, that he's Aser even from people who have a Bris Mila amongst the Avodei Avodei Zarah. So we see from over here that somebody who is Avodei Avodei Zarah, that they're fact that they have bris milah doesn't change their status that they're an arel in the lashon of a neder. Konim shani nene lemulin. Also similar, if someone says that I am going to make a konim and do I benefit from what is those who actually have bris milah? So mutar b'molei of the chachavim. So then he is going to be permitted to benefit from those who have bris milah amongst the avodah zarah. Aser b'arelei Yisrael, but it's going to be aser to Jews who don't have a bris milah. So we see that even in the first half, though, we said that konim shani nene l'arelim, that was the raya that we're bringing from the resha, that is coming to exclude even Goyim who have bris milah, who have what they call bris milah, is still called arelim. We still call them arelim. The kasha that all the rishonim, a lot of the rishonim are bothered by, is one the world does the lashon. We say specifically, we just remind him that the lashon of nedarim has to be lashon bnei adam. So maybe lashon bnei adam means that arelim, the way that people speak, they say arelim, they don't refer to a goy, like you know, like a this person is a goy. So you say he's like a goy. So that means that the. And that's the way they spoke, but that's not actually the halachic point. So the Ramban and Rashba, they answer the Inachanami that no, but really the Gemara Nedarim really is saying that we learn from a pasuk. So since we learn from a pasuk, we're not using it as Lashon Bnei Adam necessarily also, but the Lashon Pasuk comes from Tanakh. So since it comes from Tanakh, we see that categorically that the Goyim, even if they have a bris milah, are categorically going to be considered arelim. That's what we see from the Gemara there in Nedarim, and the fact they learn it from a pasuk, that's what we see from over here. Again, so then back to our kasha though, so we see Rabbi Kiva can't learn this pasuk as Tosha Zach are coming to exclude the goyim because they're considered arelim. So the pasuk says v'chol arel lo yochal bo. That's referring to even a goy who has a bris milah. So the Gemara says ela atuya ger shemal v'lo tavos. It must be that Rabbi Akiva is saying that this is coming to toshav esachar to include who can't eat a korban pesach. That the, who is someone who's a ger, somebody who's coming converting who did the bris milah but he didn't go to the mikveh yet. We know that there's two stages critical to doing to becoming a Jew is you need to do the milah and tefillah. So he was able to do the milah and he didn't have a chance to do the mikveh yet. So or katash nolad kishu mal or a child who had been born while he has a bris milah. So therefore, that person also is usher to eat in the Karan Pesach. Because Rabbi Akiva holds, kasavar tzarech lahativ mimeno dam bris. So that even a person who is born with a natural bris milah, which agav is a very holy thing, a person who is born like that, even b'zman of that, there are people who are born like it. Yosef HaTzadik, we say, Masorah, different people, but even b'zman of that, there is such a thing, that people can be born with a at least partial bris milah. So then they do a tavas dam bris, so we all like Rabbi Akiva. You have to still cause blood to flow and be ma'akev the milah. That's part of the mitzvah. And so, therefore, the fact that such a person was born like that, that's still halachically, he's still considered not be allowed to eat the korban pesach. And he's not excluded from the arel because at the end of the day he has the bris milah even though it's natural, but he's excluded from toshav esachar. That's actually lashon toshav esachar is going to teach you that he's going to be usher to eat the korban pesach. So the Gemara says now Rabbi Lezer l'taime. So the Gemara now explains Rabbi Lezer toshav esachar the gzeir shava instead of using Rabbi Kiva because he says damar ger shemal velo taval ger malyahu. He disagrees Rabbi Kiva. Both these halachas that he says a ger who is doing the first stage of milah that's enough. He's a full fledged yid. The mikvah is just like an enhancement, but he still does not ma'akev him from being a Jew. He's still considered a full-fledged Jew, even if he did not yet go into the mikveh. Because Savar Katan Kishinolad Mahol, he also holds that when a child is born with the bris milah in tzarech la'atif menu dam priest, it is not necessary to cause the to make him bleed to do the blood to cause the blood to flow from him and to cause it on the eighth day. So therefore, he's considered fully mal, and therefore the Toshav Esachar cannot possibly exclude these two people because they're totally mutter in taka bringing the korban pesach. That's what Rabbi Lezer would hold. Rabbi Lezer. So the Gemara points out that whatever Rabbi Lezer Darish with the high ish ish mayavid. What is the lashon of ish ish? That was the riboy. It mentioned ish two different times. So he'll say dibra tarok lashon b'yadam. There's a famous shaila in that tanaim about this, and he holds like the opinion that sometimes when the lashon, when certain words are repeated, the Torah is just speaking in the way that people speak. There's no specific reference to a special halacha that we learn from there. So we see over here that he's of that opinion. I think Rabbi Shmuel learns that other tanaim also hold this that la dibra tarok lashon b'yadam, that the Torah just speaks sometimes in the lashon b'yadam, even when they repeat words or repeat things, phrases, that was the way people speak. So therefore, it's not coming to include any other people, and he doesn't have to be bothered by what does he do with the drasha. So now the Gemara discusses Vayimar Ukva. Katan Ara. What if you have a case who's a katan who's born before 8 days old? So is he mal l'sava b'shemen shel tshuma? Fascinating question. Is he allowed to anoint himself with the oil of tshuma? Now the halacha is kisicha keshtia, that anointing yourself is like drinking. So we learn that you're not allowed to anoint yourself with tshuma oil either. That doing that would be like equivalent to drinking it. That's a shaila in the Rishonim. That's the reisa derabanan. This idea of sicha keshtia. But either way, if you're not a kohen, you're not allowed to do it. So the shaila is over here. Since he's an arel is aser in tshuma. So is he allowed to do it? But is he really an arel though? He's before the age 8 days. Before the age of 8 days is not shayach that he should bris milah, or is he? Because he didn't do bris milah yet. So that's part of the suffix over here. Now the Rishonim point out that obviously who had did by drinking and actually eating it. The Miri points that out. So why did he specifically ask about sicha? Because it's more likely that it actually could be that they want to actually anoint him with the oils of truma. Drinking and eating is something that almost no newborn baby does. They're not eating right when they're first born. They're just they're breastfeeding. That's it. So that we weren't talking about that point of truma, putting the oil for drinking and putting it for eating, but rather, we're talking about this halacha, and obviously who adin by eating and drink would be the same halacha. Can you feed him theoretically if you're able to feed him or give him drink of truma? So the Gemara, what's the study safek? What is the two sides? One side is arelu shalob is manam akva. The fact that again, it's he's still an arel. At the end of the day, he doesn't have bris milah, even though he can't do it yet. So it's not really the eighth day is ma'akiv him. It's the fact that he didn't do the bris milah yet is ma'akiv. So lo ma'akva, or does it not? Because at the end of the day, he can't do the bris milah. There's nothing he can do yet. The Torah doesn't tell you to do the bris milah. He's not called an arel until he can do the bris milah. So says the Gemara, "Bzera tashma." We can bring a proof from the brisa. The brisa says, "Ein li ela milah zechar b'sha'as asiya." That I learn that only that the person who doesn't do a bris milah to his children at the time of doing the korban pesach, that would prevent one from offering the korban pesach. Va'avadav b'sha'as achila. and also the fact that one's avadim when they're coming to eat the Korban Pesach. As Rashi points out, that when it comes to Mila Zecharav, the pasuk says v'az yikrav la'asoso, that after you're mal your child, then you're allowed to be makrav the Korban Pesach. And it says Rashi v'haynu shchita, and that's lashon of shchita. V'gabe avadim k'siv az yochabo, in regards to his avadim, the pasuk says az yochabo, then he shall eat it. Afilu lo havelei eved b'sha'as asiyah v'ayla b'sha'as achila makvah min ha'ochel Pesach. So then, that we learn from over there, that even if the time where he shefted the korban, and then he subsequently bought an eved, we're going to see that's what it means, so then he still has to make sure that eved gets prismila before he's allowed to actually continue in partaking in the korban Pesach. He would not be allowed to eat it even by nighttime, even if when he shefted it, the eved had not been shayach b'chlal to the din of prismila, because he didn't own him yet. So the Gemara says now, the Brisa says, minayin litayin amor, so again, so enli ela mila zecharav b'shas asiyah v'avadav b'shas achila. So I would have learned halacha is only specifically that the child at the time of doing it, the shechita, and the eved at the time of eating the korban Pesach is ma'akev him from eating Pesach. Minayin litayin esa amor shel zeh b'zeh. From where do I learn that the halacha of this one should apply to that one and this one should apply to that one? Where do we learn where do we know that if one did not have a boy who didn't have a brismila when he shechted the korban Pesach, but then he subsequently had this child, and he's going to be prohibited from bringing the korban Pesach, and also the same halacha with regards to an eved, vice versa, that even from the time of shechita it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomer as l'gzera shava. The lashon of as is l'gzera shava. That's as yikar l'asoso, and as Elchabel is teaching us that the same halachas would apply to those. But we learn from over here that either at the time of shechita from the korban Pesach or from the time in between that time and the achila, you have a child that needs to do the brismila. Even if it's in between in the interim, and the same thing with regards to an eved, you would have to circumcise them, you'd have to give them a bris milah in order for you to make the mitzvah of bris milah. So now the Gemara analyzes the proof of this brisa to show us that we're gonna call him an arel. So the Gemara says, Bishla amavadav. Now I understand with regards to somebody's slaves that don't have a bris milah, you can tell us the following case, Mishkachala desninu b'shasachila. So you could say that what happened is, how can you find it that the only was shaykh the time of eating and not the time of shechita? Because you bought him in between. Because kigon you didn't have him in the time of shechita, you didn't buy him, and then in the interim you bought him. So then it makes sense that you should say, in that case, you are going to be ma'akev the mila in that case, and that's what the pasuk is coming to include. Ela zechara, but your own child who doesn't have a bris mila, how can you have it? How is it that he wasn't shayach at the time when he was eating the korban pesach, and it was there when he was time of eating it, but leisam b'shasasiyah, we do in reverse order, he wasn't there at the time of shechita, but he was there, taka, when you were able to eat it. How could it be that in the interim, if the eighth day was Yodalid, so then the moment that I shechted him, the moment that I shechted the Korban Pesach, also he wasn't a bris mila yet, and I wasn't shy after the Korban. And if it wasn't the 8th day, then he's not shy. Then he wasn't he wasn't shy at all. So he wasn't the 8th day yet. There were 7 days. So heichem mishkachal, how could it be? So says the Gemara, lav deitzalad bein asiyah lechila, must be that we're talking about a case of the following, where the son was born. The son was born. Mamash, the wife was 9 months pregnant. She was very about to give birth, and then the husband did the shechita, and then in the interim they had the baby. So since in the interim they had the baby, so lach is that he's considered an RL, and therefore that's ma'akiv, that he would not be allowed to bring a korban Pesach, even though you can't do it till 8 days later. Still, that's going to be considered an RL. So says Gemara, this is a raya from the Brisa. Shema mina arelos shalobes mana avel arelos. We see from over here that being born and the fact that you don't have bris mila is considered the fact that you are an RL, halachic RL, even though it's not 8 days old. So says the Gemara. Now the Gemara rejects this proof from Rabbi Zera. Amar Rava the Tizbra. Is it really telling us that someone who is an RL for below the age of 8 days is going to be considered an RL? Even if you were to say that a child less than 8 days is considered an RL and is prohibited to benefit from tshuva, he certainly is not going to prevent the father from the korban pesach. That's what the Gemara wants to tie to right now. That there's two different suffix that even according to the shita, he wouldn't say the same. So the Gemara says because as we're about to mention, because the pasuk says himelo kol zachar merachmana v'azi krav la'ososo. But in talking about the bris mila with regards to the korban pesach, the pasuk specifically says that each of the children should have bris mila, and then after doing that, he's allowed to do the korban pesach. So we see from Aver v'hai lav bar milah. At the end of the day, the pasuk says that you have to be able to do the bris milah, and then it's going to be shayach to the korban pesach. Says Rava though. Says Rava, that's not the case. When the case according to you're saying, there's no body, you're just out because the son is born and you have no way to give him the bris milah. So therefore, you have no way to do korban pesach. That's not the implication of the pasuk. So even Rav Chanino, who had his shayla about the child who's less than 8 days old, is he considered an aral? He was only shayla with regards to the ramifications of the child himself eating truma, but never did he have this shayla with regards to the Korban Pesach. He's not called an Arel for sure with regards to the Korban Pesach. That's what Rava's kasha is. Some of the gears have Rava. So the Gemara says because of the Hemshech. El hachamay askinan. So what are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with the case going shechalatzaso chama. In the case where he had a fever and the fever went away. We're talking about a case where he had the fever on the eighth day and it broke. And the eighth day broke on Erev Pesach and the fever broke on the eighth day. So therefore, it broke in the afternoon, so now you have a chiyuv immediately to give him mila before you're able. So again, when he did the shechita, he still had the fever, so he wasn't shy after the bris mila. He was sick, and it was a sakana. However, he immediately became better, and therefore, in the interim, and then two, 3 o'clock, let's say, after you're already makar the Korban Pesach, so then at that point, you'd have to give him bris mila before you're able to, if you want to eat the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, the Amar Shmuel, so the Gemara asks the Kasha, you're going to the Chama, the Gemara says, ben isav lekol shiva, but that's not true. At the end of the day, we should give him 7 days to get better. The Bais is telling us where the fever disappeared. If a person has an illness which takes up his whole body, so halacha is you give him a full 7 days to get better. So here, how could it be that if a fever broke in the afternoon, so we should wait until after the 15th, the whole 7 days after that? So says the Gemara, Damar Shmuel chalatz l'chama nosin l'kol shiva. Shmuel says that after a child's fever leaves him, that we give him all 7 days before being able to do the bris mila. So that's a de'avina l'kol shiva. So the Bais is telling us where we in fact give him 7 days. The Bais is telling us that the child's fever broke on the 7th day of Nisan, and therefore we are giving him the 7 days to get better. That means that it broke specifically in the afternoon and he's not fit in the morning. So the Gemara says, but how wasn't he fit in the morning? In that case, the father should also give him the bris mila in the morning. Again, since at the end of the day he recovered on the 7th of Nisan, so therefore 7 days, so then 7 days later, meaning the 8th day we're turning onto Erev Pesach, so that should be that you should be able to give him bris mila in the morning. So it says Mar Ba'inan that we require turning on the Rishamina Amad Ayin Aleph Amad Beis Me'es La'es, that we require, that he specifically requires the 24-hour periods that from when the fever breaks. That meaning, according to Rashi, that if the child, let's say, broke at 2:30, so then that only 2:30, 7 days later, are you eligible to bring the Korban Pesach. So if the father, the chatzos at 12 o'clock, so 12:30 already, he was makir of the Korban Pesach at 1 o'clock, let's say, so he did the Shechita, so then he did the Shechita, but at 2:30, his son becomes shayach to do the Bris Mila, so it's not a raya from the Braisa. Or, but the Gemara before that, the Gemara says Vatani Ludai. Boy, Vakasha Ludai was the name of a Tana. We don't know who taught in the Braisa. Yom Avrasa, but Yom Kivam Adada. That the day of recovery is like the day of his birth. Doesn't that mean Lachora My Lav Ma Yom Avrasa Lo Ben Leisays? Nobody says you require Es La Es regards to the baby is born. If the baby is born, let's say at 9 a.m., that you can't do the Bris Mila till 9 a.m. No, so we don't know the Es La Es. So the 8th day is fine. So the Gemara says, Afyom Avrasa Lo Ben Leisays. So too Lachora the day of recovery. Also, you wouldn't need the exact 24-hour period. Exactly at 2:30, let's say p.m. He recovered. If the whole day is fine. That the morning of the 14th should be fine for him to do the bris mila. So Gemara says, "Lo, adif yom ravasa mila v'lado no." That enechanami, that his day of recovery is actually more machmir than the day of his birth. In regards to the day of his birth, you don't require the 24-hour period, the exact time. V'ilu yom ravasa bina meislays. Whereas, with regard to the baby's recovery, we do require 7 24-hour periods. It has to be mamish me'es leis. So that's it gets into the whole shayla. What's considered for many days makes the same kikulo. It's fine to do that. Let's say bar mitzvah, there is a shayla about the nechorim. Pretty clear we're paskin that it's that we don't paskin me'es leis, meaning that a bar mitzvah boy, if he's bar mitzvah only at 3 p.m. he was born. So you're going to say that he's not shayach the ma'ariv before, the shachar before to be fully downing for them. But no, vada, we assume that we hold like Meshavir quotes, I think Magen Avraham says, but this way that we don't hold the eis leis. Different halachas are different things. That the any day which you're born, that 13 years later is going to be the day of your bar mitzvah. So says, and it doesn't matter what time you're born. So that, again, different halachas, different sheets about this. So the Gemara is giving different terutzim. I think we're going to have like 3 or 4 suggestions for explaining the braisa. So Rav Papa gives a different suggestion that we're talking about the case where the child's eyes were hurting him in the morning of the 14th. Now, if his eyes are hurting him, that is considered a minor sickness. That's not something which is major. We don't postpone the bris mila because of that. Only a major sickness, which is like his whole body, where the bris mila will endanger him. So what happened was, it's enough that you don't give the bris mila at that point, but we're not making him wait 7 days. And what happened? Then his eyes got better, and he was able to do, he checked with the Korban Pesach in the interim, and then the baby got better, so then you would have a chiyuv to be malim that day. Rava gives another interpretation. This is why Lechor the Girsa before was Rava. That's why I mentioned that here, because here Rava is giving interpretation of the Raisa. So Rava, Mar Kigon Shayu Aviv Imel Chavusha Bisasur. Maybe the parents were in jail. Since they were in jail, they have to admit the mitzvah of Mila. And therefore, how did they do that? How did they do Korban Pesach? They were in jail. So they said the Shliach. That was fine. Interesting though, why would the Gemara assume that you can appoint the Moel to do it? I guess they want to be their mamish to do their try to do their chiyuv. We see we definitely agree that it's the lechachila they should do themselves, but the bris milah. We also see another raya lechora from Rashi that it seems avi v'imo that the mother also is shayach to the bris milah of her child, that she has a mitzvah, some sort of mitzvah also to make sure that her child gets the bris milah. So that's a shayla. Anyway, so the Gemara says that was another explanation. Now a third explanation: Rav Kana Breider of Nechemia Amar Kegon Tumtum Shenikra V'Nimtza Zacha Beni Beni. We know Tumtum is somebody where his area is his private part is covered, so we can't tell if he's a male or female. So here we're not sure necessarily if he's a male or female. Let's say he was the status of a tumtum, and maybe that should also be ma'akiv. So those who point out from here, maybe that suffix wouldn't actually ma'akiv you from Korban Pesach. By the way, so what happened over there in the interim that they found out for sure that it was the covering was torn up, and in the interim we found out that he was a full fledged boy, a male. So therefore you definitely have a chiyuv, and definitely going to ma'akiv you for Korban Pesach, and then you have a chiyuv to do it. Says the Gemara Rav Shivya Amar, a last interpretation: Kigon Sheotzi Rosha Chutz LePorzdo, where the baby, the fetus, stuck out his head outside of the Porzdo already on the 7th of Nisan. The Mishnah tells us in Nida that the moment the baby is considered born is as soon as the majority of his head comes out. So now, in this case where the head did not completely emerge from the head came out a little bit, but didn't completely, or majority even, and then didn't come out until the 14th though. So now you don't even check to the carbon. And then the baby was born. So he's fully considered as born. Like he was born 8 days ago. So you have now chiyuv to do the bris milah. So it doesn't work. Could the baby even live like that? Once a child comes from to the world, that which is closed, the mouth opens up, and that which is was open, meaning the belly button that he was connected to the umbilical cord is not going to be nourishing him anymore. The newer baby would not be able to live even for a moment. We're talking about a year, he's not receiving nourishment from the baby to nurse. So lechora, we're talking about a year that the child would not be able to survive with the closed mouth, meaning he can't be able to breathe properly. So if that's the case, the price of lechora is telling us that you wouldn't be able to live at this. You'll be able to live at this point. So says the Gemara, Achamah Eskinan, what are we dealing with over here? Kigon, Dizanise Ishte. We're talking about a case where the Ishasa, where we had fever, and the fever was be able to sustain the child. Here, the fever is able to sustain the child based on the Gemara Sanhedrin, which says that the person doesn't need to eat as much, and therefore his nourishment is his body is nourishing him through the fact that he doesn't even eat or drink. So says the Gemara. So Ishasa the man. So who had the fever though? Ilam Ishasa did the baby himself is the one who has the fever. So then he has to wait another 7 days to get better because he's considered a chola kol gufo. It must be Elazanta Ishasa the ima. This answer says assuming that the mother's fever had sustained him and therefore he was able to live in this circumstance. But by saying we're giving another answer, that the assumption the newborn baby cannot live 8 days was only when the baby doesn't cry out. We assume that when the child is crying out, that is something he is able to live. Maybe the mother is able to feed him, and in that circumstance, the baby would be able to live. And if you mild him in the interim, then you would have a chiyuv to do the carbon pesach. Says the Gemara, someone who is an arel, so he's uncircumcised, and he was tummy mace. So he could still still sprinkle him. You have to bring him on Yom Shlishi V'Shvi. And even though he was still an Arel at the time where you're sprinkling, the sprinkling is effective. So he's eventually going to, when he does the bris milah, he would not need to do the sprinkling again to be Matayar himself. So where do I know? Shekin Matzit B'Avaseinu, Shekib L'Azak, Shein Arelim. We see this the time of our ancestors when they were coming to Kal Yisrael and coming to Yisrael in the times of Yehoshua. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says with regards to Yehoshua, that after crossing the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan, that they had done bris milah. V'am alum in the Yarden v'esel l'chodesh harishon v'asara. So now on the 10th day they weren't able to do the bris milah because they were tired. So they did the next day, the 11th of Nisan. So hazah imas avidlo. So when are they doing it? We're assuming that everybody was tummy mace at some point because everybody had died from the age of 20 to 60 in the midbar. You have to bury them. Who buried them? So lechora at some point they buried them and they didn't have a chance to do the tara process yet. So therefore they were being matara themselves. It must be that again if they're matara themselves though, when did they get bris milah till the 11th of Nisan? It's impossible that your day 7 you could have 7 days before that. So lav because generally it must be that they were sprinkled while they were. That they did not have bris milah yet. So says the Gemara now, Dilma lo avod pesach lal. Maybe that year they didn't do the Korban Pesach at all. So that's a big kash to the Ritvas. What do you mean? The Gemara is about to answer. Looks like a daita because if I ask the pesach, the pasuk says it. So what was the Tana asking? The Gemara asking that we against the pesach. The pasuk got the kasha. But either way, the Gemara is asking the marzutra. But Dilma pesach above two maya. Maybe it was a pesach. We know that rova tibor is tame. You have to bring Korban Pesach in the state of Tara. But if rova tibor is tame, then you're allowed to bring. Everyone is allowed right to mocha b'zivur. You're allowed to bring a Korban Pesach in the state of tuma. So I'm really Ravashi, Tanina Behed did that, no, because we have a brace that says Beferish, Malavatalu, they immersed in the mikvah, Asu Bishchem Batara, that they were smashed Tara when they did the Korban Pesach. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Be'etzach Rav, Lo Nidna Peres Mila L'Avram Avinim. our later teaching about the mitzvah, the mitzvah of priya, really there's two stages of mila. Mila is cutting off the foreskin, and the priya is uncovering the actual area, exposing the area, removing the stip, and it's completely mamish, two different things. There used to be mechabe, two different moels, to do these two actions. The mila and the priya, they're two different things. So now Shneva, the pasuk says, so we're learning out that Avram Yudin was only given the first stage of mila, not the second. Both are ma'akev. The Mishnah Shabbos tells us. So now we're learning that Yoshua is the first one to be mechadesh. So basically, the pasuk says, make sharp knives for yourself. So the Gemara says, Oduma. So we were saying that Chavetz Tzurim, and the Lashon was also Shenis, that you do it for a second time. That the Hemshech of the pasuk is very important for us. That Shenis implies that you're doing it something. What does it mean, Shenis? So we have Duma, Anach the Lomal. So maybe this is a command that those who didn't do Bris Mila, that everyone who came from Egypt did a Bris Mila. So the Gemara says, Ma'ing Keshua was Lashon of again. Ella Lavrapia must be that there's not, it's Mechadesh Anu Alach over here, that you have the Chiyav now, from now on, to do Priya. And again, it's telling us that you have to do the mitzvah of Priya as well. What does it mean in my Shenis? So the Kushe Sof Mila Tchilas Mila teach you that the beginning is similar to the end. So the beginning to the end. Matchilas Mila Ma'akev, just like the beginning of the actual Mila, needs to be valid. Av Sof Mila Ma'akevin Vasotu, the Priya is going to be Ma'akev. Disnan, Elo Natsitu Ma'akev to Mila. There are shreds that are going to be Ma'akev the Mila if you don't do them. If you don't, the certain areas of the forest, you don't remove them, the Mila is not valid. Basra Chofesa Atara, the flesh that covers part of the area of the bris. Ve'en Ocha B'chuman, you're not allowed to eat Chuman until you do this Mila. So the Gemara Ravina Ve'temer Rav. Basra Chofes Rav Kovah Shal Atara, that the basar is a large area that covers part of the height of the area of the private part of the male. Okay, Bez Hashem, I'll pick up a chibra. My time, Bez Hashem, and tomorrow's daf.